This is After Hours programming on HRN. The views and opinions of this show do not reflect those of HeritageRadioNetwork.com, Heritage Foods USA, or any of our sponsors. Again, this is After Hours programming on HRN.
Gunwash News Time. It is 8:30, 64 and breezy here in Bushwick. Breaking news. Apple Computers President and CEO Steve Jobs has passed. This just in. Also tonight on Gunwash, game-changing advance in protein folding, but the game-changers might not be who you think they are. Stay tuned here on Gunwash for all that and more.
I'm not the supreme expert on cleaning guns, but I do know a little bit, and I'm just going to share my little tips and ideas with you.
Stan Brooks, 10-10 wins in the house. Oh, Jack, how you feeling? Feeling a little under the weather today?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
I feel like I might die.
It's okay. Well, just if you're going to die, we'll tell Armando so we can put him back on the soundboard. It is Gunwash. If you want to set your clocks, it's 8:31, HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Brand new website. Thank you, Jack Inslee. Applause if we have it on deck. If
not, thank you. No, yeah. I'll go with the silent applause.
Okay, that's good. Click, click, click. If you want to call in, the number is 718-497-2128. Chris, I can hear you fine. We have Herbert Spliffington and Billy, if you know from the old Gunwash podcast, is here. And Chris is here. I don't know if Billy's mic is on, but we're working. And we're thankful that Armando is not missing. Armando is here tonight in the studio, but we're not exactly sure where he is. So we have the protein folding guy on tonight. Let's see. So, okay. New advances in protein folding. An experimental video game about protein folding developed as a collaboration between University of Washington's Department of Computer Science and Engineering and the Biochemistry Department. They're using the what they call the ever-famous Rosetta algorithm. So we will speak to him tonight. Don't everyone rush around asking him questions. Just do me a favor. Don't bombard him with questions. I'm not sure if the lines are open. That's up to Jack. But if you want to call in, the number is 718-497-2128. But again, this is going to be a strange interview. So don't bombard him. I know Chris is going to be like, "Great guys, what's your passion, great guy? What's your passion, great guy?" Okay. Anyway, stay tuned for that. Top of the hour, we'll talk to Dr. Firas Khatib. Spliffington, if you would, please.
We are the Ilongoli Rider. Ilongoli. Other than a snake and a spider. Ilongoli. Because of we rule, Boya. Ilongoli. We are the Ilongoli Rider. Ilongoli rider, Ilongoli. If you watch your soft shoulder, Ilongoli. Cause a wee room boat, Ilongoli. Are you sleeping? Are you sleeping? See you later. See you later. We are the Ilongoli rider, Ilongoli. Other than a snake and a spider, Ilongoli. Because a wee room boat. Watch your soft shoulder, Ilongoli. Cause a wee rule about ya, Ilongoli. Are you sleeping? Are you sleeping? Selector, selector. Play your master blaster, play your master blaster. Play it fast, play it fast. Some more bridges burning down, burning down.
Diamond crosses in my way, oh Lord. But the of the battle and the sweet of the victory. Whoa, you cannot weep, but you never sow. No song cannot sing so, and it no sing so. Weep, but you never sow. That's our business, no one so, and you no one so. So let me go on time. You the back out for time.
Jack, am I on? There we go. Okay. And we're back on Gunwash Radio. It's 8:38 here in Bushwick, New York, heritageradionetwork.com. If you want to call in, the number here is 718-497-2128. Jack, are we okay here?
Yeah, we're all good.
All right, so I think we're going all the way to Seattle right now, where we will talk to Dr. Firas Khatib. Doctor, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How's everything with you over there, sir?
Good, man. I can't believe Steve Jobs died, though.
That's sad, and it seems like earth-shaking a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Are you an Apple user?
I thought you was joking.
Pretty much everyone in our lab uses Apple, but, I mean, I grew up in the same town as him, actually. He gave my, like, commencement speech in high school.
No, wow. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So, Firas, it's great to have you on. I want to let you know we have close friends of the Gunwash family are here. They're all studio members. Billy, Armando, and Chris are here, as well as our producer, Jack, and our ever-famous DJ, Herbert Spliffington. We're super happy to have you join us tonight. I heard last week you are on NPR, which is great. It seems you guys are getting a lot of press out there about this product that you guys have been developing and putting out.
Yeah, we're pretty excited.
Excellent. So why don't you start, just so we can give a baseline knowledge for everyone that's listening, Can we talk a little bit about proteins and why they're important and basically why all this stuff is important?
Yeah, well, so proteins are basically the workhorses of your bodies. They run everything in your cells. You know, digesting your food. You know, you name it, and they have a lot of different diseases that are caused by proteins. But basically, the whole deal with protein folding and why protein folding is important is that proteins are so small you can't see them with a microscope. And
sure.
So the only way to be able to, you know, design drugs or target drugs to bind to these proteins is to be able to know exactly what they look like. And so, you know, there are experimental methods to solve protein structures, but they're very expensive, they're very time-consuming, and in some cases, they don't even work, which was what happened in this particular case. So what David Baker's lab, which is the lab the biochemistry lab that I work in, has been doing for many years, is basically using computers to try to simulate the way a protein will fold. And so we've been, you know, throwing a ton of, like, computing power at it using the Rosetta program that you were talking about that was developed in the lab. And we have, you know, tons of supercomputers, and even that wasn't enough. So then we started using distributed computing, which, you know, if you're familiar with, like, SETI at home from back in the day.
Not completely, actually. It sounds rather...
That was a screensaver that a lot of people would use to try to search for extraterrestrial light.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
I think that's a whole separate call.
Yeah. So we have Rosetta at home, which you can basically download the screensaver on your computer, and you basically run Rosetta for us, and we basically, you know, suck all your CPU time when you're not using it, and it's been really great and very powerful. We've been able to get some really exciting results using, you know, all that distributed computing power.
Can you?
But even that's not enough.
Can you explain just a little bit more in depth about what Rosetta is and why the screensaver is giving you these metrics and this data? Because
Yeah. So the Rosetta algorithm is basically a computer program that basically simulates how proteins fold, and what it basically tries to do is predict the correct topology of a protein. So basically, you give it a sequence of amino acids. So, you know, DNA converts to RNA, converts to proteins, and that's basically just a bunch of letters.
Jeepers.
And the letters is all that we know from, you know, all the human genome project that's been sequenced and all the different genomes, and we don't know what the three-dimensional fold of the protein looks like. So we're just given a sequence, we're trying to figure out the three-dimensional fold of the protein, and so what we do is basically give this algorithm that sequence that you're trying to figure out, and it basically does a lot of different fragment insertions by stealing little bits of known proteins that have been solved, and incrementally, like, tries them all out until you get, you know, pieces that are energetically favorable. And so basically, all it does is it has this energy function that tries to mimic how proteins fold. And so when you get, you know, a decent energy score, it means that you're hopefully close to the native. If you have a really, really bad score, it means that, you know, you're protein's all fucked up and can't be right.
Now the folding. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. And so basically, what the screensaver does is we send out all the calculations that we're trying to do to the screensavers, and so people can actually see on their computer the Rosetta algorithm working and trying to fold the protein into the most, you know, correct shape.
Now, when you say folding, you're not just. I think folding seems to be an overarching term for a lot of different movements that go into these proteins. Am I wrong?
Right. So basically, the reason it's always folding is that these proteins basically fold up into a shape. You know, when they're created in the ribosome, it's basically like a string with a bunch of beads on it. And each of the different beads are the different types of amino acids. And as it's coming out and being created, when proteins are being created, they start folding up immediately. And the reason for that is the hydrophobic effect. They basically want to be as compact as possible in solution. And so that's why they basically fold up into this one particular shape, like, instantly, you know, in nature. What we're trying to do is simulate that folding with our computers. And unfortunately, our process is a lot slower and is, like, wrong, you know, most of the time. But every so often, we're able to get the correct topology and figure out exactly and be able to predict the correct way that some of these proteins fold.
Now, we're going to talk about folding in a second, because I know that's really what the conversation is about. But when you solve I suspect that solving these problems and actually running the solution are two different things, right? I mean, I assume right. that when you're solving it and then to actually practice that solution would be a separate process, or am I wrong?
Exactly. So they really can only be solved experimentally using
sure.
very complicated, you know, methods, you know, what you would imagine in a biochemistry lab with, you know, like beakers and all that crazy stuff and, you know, X-ray beams and magnetic fields and all these sort of things. That's the only way you can solve a protein. You can use an electron microscope, but you're not going to be able to see anything. It's just going to look like
Oh, they're really small like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, there is a whole field of using electron microscopes. It's called cryo-EM, and you basically just get this, like, pile of crap, and you know you see that at a very very low resolution essentially. And so these other methods, NMR and X-ray crystallography, that's how you actually solve the structure. What we're doing is totally cheating. We're basically trying to simulate with computers how they'll fold, and so we're literally just predicting. We use computers to try to predict what the actual solution is, and the way we do that is by trying to steal little pieces of known proteins as we're doing it, and so we you know this program never really actually solves the structure. The way Rosetta has helped solve structures is by helping the experimentalists who, let's say, you know, they almost solved it. They've done like everything they can, and there's just this one little step that they can't do. Mm. And they're like, oh man, you know, if only we could get just a little closer, we'd totally be able to solve it. And suddenly, you know, all our experimental work would make sense. And that's where Rosetta has been able to come in the past and just help on that last bit and actually essentially help them solve the structure, not, you know, Rosetta solving the structure. Does that make sense?
Fascinating. So on that note, wanted to tell us a little bit about Foldit and what you guys did.
So Foldit actually kind of started from that screensaver because people were really getting into the screensaver. The screensaver shows you how Rosetta is folding up your protein. So, you know, it has this nice little image of the protein folding up and you know, the little energy changing and all that. But people started looking at it while it was running, and they started noticing, you know what, your program's just wrong sometimes. And instead of folding it, you know, to the left, it's folding it to the right. And people started asking us, hey, can we somehow intervene? Like, here,
right.
you know, can we just tell the screensaver, no, don't even bother going in this direction, like, go over here.
So there's a bit of human intuition involved in this, in other words, it seems.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, we all know that computers are very, very powerful, but the deal with proteins is they have so many different degrees of freedom that you could take every single supercomputer on Earth and try to simulate how one protein folds, and you wouldn't be able to enumerate all the different possibilities.
Wow.
Like, that's how complex this problem is. And so, you know, when you're working on, you know, different proteins with not all the supercomputers, you basically have no chance. So the idea is to basically guide the computer, which is totally necessary. There's no way that you're going to solve this problem, you know, manually by just, you know, folding up a piece of string. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So the idea is to basically guide the you know, automated computing with the human intuition, which we know, like, humans are good at this sort of thing, because this is really just a three-dimensional puzzle problem, and humans are great with pattern recognition and these puzzle-solving skills, and so, you know, it just totally made sense to, well, hey, why don't we freaking make a video game out of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to play, right? People want to play. It reminds me of Reality is Broken, that book where they talk about, you know, giving people sort of social rewards for solving important problems. You know what I mean? It reminds
me of something. Exactly. Jim McDonald, that was a great, great book.
Oh, so you read it. Oh, good. I thought, because I forgot the name of the author, and I thought I was going to look like an idiot.
No, she even mentioned us when she was on the Colbert Report, which to me was like the coolest thing ever. She didn't name drop us anything. She just said, you know, these are very powerful. And Stephen Colbert goes, well, you know, did they work? And she said, well, actually, there's this one video game that was published in Nature from our paper from last year. And she said, and, you know, 56,000 online video game players were the co-authors on this scientific journal. I was like, holy crap, she just fucking named us.
So does that mean that people out there like you and like me,
regular people
who aren't, exactly, people who can solve Rubik's Cubes can solve diseases?
Or is it even simpler than that?
No, that is totally it. Because what we've noticed, and this is the coolest part, is that the people who play Fold It, most of them, and I'm talking like the top players, not you know, just random people who join, most of the top players don't have any prior biochemistry knowledge whatsoever.
Excellent.
So it doesn't require.
The way we design the game is you start with these tutorial levels, these introductory levels, which they don't teach you biochemistry. It's not like, you know, some boring ass lecture. They teach you the necessary steps and tools to excel in the game. And so basically we're passing on this like protein structure folding knowledge onto people who've never even, you know, had heard of proteins in the first place.
So
and that's what's remarkable.
Taking the folding of enzymes and explaining it fundamentally in a way that people can play it like it's a game.
Exactly.
It's Sudoku.
And then they're excelling like way better than like, you know, the top biochemists. Like, you know, we have a lot of people in our lab that have been staring at proteins their whole lives, and we're horrible folder players. We're just utter crap.
Oh, because you're not good game players, man.
Yeah, no, but we're also gamers. I mean, well, some of us. But the point is that it's just this one skill that they're just amazing to me. I mean, I'm always like massively impressed by like how awesome our folded players are.
So what platforms? How is the game available? I guess is the real question.
Yeah. So you just go to our website. It's real simple. Fold.it.
Oh, great. Fold.it.
Yeah,
that's an Italian extension.
The game. It's for Mac, it's for PC, and it's for Linux. And the reason you have to download it, you know, we couldn't just have it like a, you know, a flash thing on the web.
It's for Linux.
You're basically downloading, you know, the entire like Rosetta package and all like the, you know, the database like stuff. So it's kind of a big program. But once you download it, then you can play online and compete with everybody, or you can just even play offline and go through, you know, the tutorials and stuff like that. But it's really cool to be able to communicate with other players around the world, because especially now, you know, there's a lot of new players that are joining, but all our veteran players have just been totally awesome in showing all the new players the ropes. There's a chat where you can basically ask questions if you need help.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, you can join teams and then you can share your solutions among the teams, because you know, science is also a collaborative effort. So you have this collaboration within your group where you're sharing solutions and like improving on other people's solutions. But then you have the, you know, real important competitive aspect where you're trying to beat the other teams and like pass them basically on the leaderboard. As soon as you get a better score than someone else, suddenly you get this rank up and your name goes up, you know, higher on the leaderboard.
It's great. It's just like the McDowell book, where it's like you're being rewarded for playing games, and it's not even about. It doesn't have to be about math or science anymore. It's just about competing, and that's great because people are competing for good reasons.
Math and science, rec tech, what up?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And
it's like a math-a-thon.
And I really think that one of the reasons that Fold.it has been successful is that human competitive element. I think if we had just made this kind of program that was just like, hey, who wants to help us with these proteins? Like, it'd be really nice. And I think we'd get a lot of people, and it would be great. But I think the fact that, you know, suddenly you see someone pass you with a better score makes you suddenly go, you know what, I need to work harder, because obviously, you know, I can fold this protein better than, you know, like I currently have it. And I really think that's one of the reasons it's been good.
So some of these solutions that you come up with, like what are the applications? Like I heard, like they solved some decade old problem with the protein folding for AIDS. That was like a big benchmark, I think, for your
That's the recent paper that has come out, and you know, obviously the press has kind of had a field day with like gamers cure AIDS. That, you know, not what happened. but basically,
it's
for the past 14 years, the structure of this one protein has been unknown at high resolution. So for 14 years, you know, scientists have been trying to solve the crystal structure of this one protein that basically converts HIV to AIDS in rhesus monkeys. And so, you know, this is an important protein, and they weren't, you know, all the experimental methods weren't able to get that very last step that I was talking about earlier to basically solve the structure. And they'd even solved it at a low resolution model, you know, just like crappier version of it, using this other way, using magnetic fields. And even using that model as a start, it didn't match the high-resolution data. So it basically meant that, like, that model was crap. And, you know, if it's not going to solve it, then that was probably wrong. So what we did is we just took that incorrect bunch of models. It was 10 different starting points of this one protein, and we gave it to the Volta players, and we straight up told them, yo, this is wrong. It doesn't fit the high resolution data. Can you make it better and just get us close enough so that once we get a model that's just close enough to the correct solution, suddenly all that data will make sense and the, you know, our collaborators in Poland will be able to solve it. And so, you know, we posted it for 3 weeks over winter break of last year, because normally we post a puzzle for, you know, just 1 week and, you know, try to keep it fresh and give them new puzzles every week. But this one seemed like it'd be pretty tough. So we posted it for 3 weeks. And, you know, after the fact, once they had solved it, we went back and saw that in 10 days they had already totally nailed it.
Oh, so wow. Decades and fuck decades Farmville. And decades. Yeah, fuck Farmville. We got folded
City,
in
the Cityville.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a story about Farmville? So what are the other directions that we're going with it? So, you know, all I've been talking about right now is predicting the fold of proteins that exist in nature. Well, you know, the next step is actually to design new enzymes and basically to design new proteins that don't exist in nature. So ones that could be used, you know, for biofuels or ones that could, you know, clean up, oil spills or one we had up recently is to basically block the flu to
end the flu, in other words.
New flu inhibitors. And anyway, so one of the very first design puzzles that we posted, and the cool thing about it is we can then test it in the lab and, you know, come back. And a folder player came up with this really cool solution that, you know, looked like really, really promising. And you know, we tested it in the lab. It was the first folded solution, you know, that was tested in a scientific lab. We were all excited about it. And, you know, it turned out it didn't, you know, the protein didn't actually fold up. And we're, you know, a little bummed. But
at least people are getting involved.
A folded trophy for, yeah, you know, the first folded design ever tested in the lab. And he sent us back a picture. This dude named Boots McGraw in Texas, awesome dude. He sent us a picture of him holding the trophy, of course, with his boots on. And he said, "I keep this on my desk at work so that when my coworkers ask me why I'm not playing Farmville, I tell them I'm curing cancer."
There it is. Yeah. Yeah. So that's excellent. Absolutely excellent. We are here with Dr. Firas Khatib talking about the new game Folded and some amazing advances in the world of protein folding. I want to talk more about the design aspect of this and more specifics on the diseases that we're going to talk about possibly solving during the time. Quick station break, top of the hour, 8:57. Firas, stay on the line. We'll be back with you in one moment. Spliffington, please pull up that.
Style, oh, right, well, girl tell me so. Now we wicked and large and Rambo.
And we Rambo.
Kill it with the Tigwai. We quite kill it with
But them can't push it further. You want to charge me for murder. But them can't push it further. Lord the mercy, you're murdering the place. When they sue me for a child, next week is the case. Lord the mercy, Lord, Lord, murdering the place. When they sue me for a child, what? Next week is the case. Lord the mercy. Boy, every cup, mind them on a cough. And every goat, mind their kitty. Don't you know? So every woman has the right to mind. Every woman should mind them on a bikini. Lord of mercy, oh, murder in the place. When they sue me for a child, Lord, next week is the case. Lord of mercy, they wanna put me in jail, oh, jail house. But they can do me as what they like to. They cannot push me around, around, boy. Neither can disadvantage me.
Say we're moving across the borderline. Youth man, get yourself in line, yeah. Yourself in line, yeah. Say we're moving across the borderline. Oh no, you man, get yourself in line, yeah. Say we don't want no mission. Say we don't want no slipper. Say we don't want no backbiter.
And the earth a go down. And the wicked a go run to locks. The fire going to burn. And the wicked a go melt up like butter in a sun. We take it from the camp, cause him a judge a big son. We call it hell going to come. And me say hell going to come. Bim! Hell going to come. And me say hell going to come. Got the time when we living in our revelation. All the 2000 century African nation. And who don't know that a kill is city open. The next thing I face we a judge a judge man. From the cat, they are walking the yana. But when you know the right, they say don't do the wrong. The bad mix the wicked with the righteous man. But some a go to well and some a go to Zion. There is no partiality in a this a judgment. But I know person and I'm not a deacon.
Up. Gunwash news time. 904. Gonna kill anybody. Super Cat. Thank you, Herbert Splivington. If you're just tuning in, Steve Jobs has passed away, unfortunately, and we are here.
End of an era.
We are here live on the phone with Dr. Firas Khatib. Doctor, are you with us?
Yeah.
All righty. There you go. So on the station break, we were talking, and everyone in the studio is just buzzing about this new folded thing, and we have some questions from people that are actually sitting directly next to me, and I think we're going to talk about the design of this thing and how it's going to help us in the future. So first of all, what I want to know is, what's the graphical interface of this thing? Do you guys have designers that work in 3D programs that render the stuff out, or is this stuff developed simply by math?
No, no. So basically, Folded was a joint collaboration between our biochemistry department, where, you know, basically just the Rosetta algorithm is the back end for the energy function in the game, but everything about the game, the graphical user interface, all the rendering, you know, every single new tool that has been implemented, and everything about the game and the server and how the solutions, you know, go from the players and get back to us, that is all developed by the University of Washington's Computer Science and Engineering Department at the UW Center for Game Science.
Oh, good. And, so we covered our quota because the owner of the station thinks that we're a design show. So, okay. Good on that.
And the cool thing is that the Center for Game Science is Folded is, you know, their first game, but they're developing a lot more new games that are going to be coming out. These nano machine games, a DNA game, these fractions games to teach math in
is
school.
Is that a first person
shooter?
Know,
actually, make it fun.
Har har har. So this gaming solutions genre is going to start gathering mass.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of the big hope with you know the latest paper that we published and all the you know kind of press that it's getting is my hope that this is basically a proof of concept that you know the power that games can have to help in science, basically, you know, scientific discovery games is what they're called.
So
and as well, just you know, in education.
So these alternate proteins that possibly could be used for energy in the future. Do you feel as though Folded is a substantial base, or is this like the forefront of discovery, you know, research and design on this type of issue?
Well, I mean, those issues already are at the you know very limits of our current knowledge. It's really really hard to design new proteins and then have them fold up the way that you predict them to and so you know that problem is already really really hard and there are not that many examples where it has worked successfully.
It's basically giving the user the ability to manipulate a protein, and then that combination of manipulations will prove to be successful or unsuccessful. Correct.
Right. So when they're trying to predict how a known protein folds, they have a fixed sequence, and then they're just trying to fold up and basically get that you know correct answer.
So one
in this case with the design case, it's kind of even harder because not only are they trying to fold up something that's gonna work, but they can design each different amino acid. So basically, that even that sequence changes because it's a completely novel protein.
When you come to these, okay, here's like a. For us, these girls at the table outside are looking at me like they really want me. Sorry.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Take a flight.
Armando's got a question for you for us.
Is this being rated teen or mature?
Oh, Armando wants to know if it's rated teen or mature. I'm assuming anyone can use the game, correct?
No, it depends about the chat mostly. That's where...
Right.
You know, when suddenly high school starts using Folded, which has happened, some teachers have assigned it as homework, suddenly, you know, we just... suddenly see the chat flooded with penis.
Yo,
I want a penis game.
I want to fold some ribosomes. Age, sex, location, Florida. Do you want to use
can
jelly?
I fold your protein?
Yeah. Can I fold your protein for you, sir? On a more serious note for us, when these solutions come physically, what do you do? You say, all right, we have this solution that seems to have proven something is working. What do you do with that data, physically?
So do you mean with the Folded solution, or in this case, like when they, quote, solve the structure?
When they solve the structure, what do you do to take it out of the computer interface and practice this solution?
Okay. So in this particular case, like for the monkey virus protein that needed to be solved, The main problem was that when you're doing the experiment experimentally, you have this ambiguity in the orientation of the protein. Basically, when you do X-ray crystallography, you're shining this X-ray through this crystal, and you get this diffraction pattern. And it basically makes no sense until you can get a model that's close enough. And so the way it's usually done, you know, without using Folded and without using computers, is you basically get a protein that's close enough to the one that you're trying to solve. And you use that kind of as a base. And so
see.
You basically fit your data onto that. It kind of makes sense. You refine it a bit, and then you're able to basically get the answer. So in this case, we took literally folded solutions. You know, they upload it from their computer onto our servers. We downloaded it, and we took their solutions and tried them all out until we found these ones that actually worked. And so then we sent that to our Polish crystallographers, who took that exact model, fit it, and refined it a bit, and then they were able to basically get their data to make sense and actually solve the physical structure.
Nice.
And then now it's released, and you can go on the protein data bank and view it, and all the scientists can now use it to try to, you know, design better antiretroviral drugs.
So this is like invasive stuff where you go in and you're basically trying to design a drug that will make that folding sequence take place, or am I wrong?
So in the design case, you're trying to design new proteins that don't exist, and so you do that in the lab.
I see.
And all that. In this case, you're trying to determine how a real protein folds up so that then we can design drugs to basically block it from doing its function. In this case, you know, causing AIDS to rhesus monkeys.
Yeah.
If we can basically block it from performing its function, then it can't go from HIV to AIDS.
That's crazy. So what other ailments and diseases are we talking about? Is this a lot of stuff?
Proteins. Alzheimer's is a classic one that's caused by these nasty proteins. Oh, the prion proteins. They cause Kuru and mad cow disease. These horrible, nasty diseases are caused by these prion proteins. Lots of cancers are due to mutations in proteins. As we were talking about before, AIDS is a protein. The list goes on and on. And then in the protein design category, we can basically design new proteins to do cool stuff, like create new biofuels, for example, or block the flu, as I was saying before, or break down sarin, the deadly nerve gas. You can design proteins to stop that. So basically, proteins are really important.
it seems limitless
possibilities.
Yeah. But
it's really hard to figure it out. Like that's the whole problem. Just,
I mean, are you literally in a petri dish with like microscopic tools, like pulling things apart, stretching things?
So. Yeah, literally the room across from my room does all that crazy stuff. My room works in the computational aspect, so it's just all of us sitting in front of a bunch of computers and trying to predict them computationally. But yeah, there's the whole wet lab.
What's the sentiment amongst the people who have spent their entire life doing this, and then you team up
now,
with the engineers and the computer engineers,
Boots.
And then they're like, wow. When you team up with Boots McGraw... Look, the scientists are like,
listen,
I should have sought another profession.
Yeah, listen, you got archaic doctors from decades ago who are looking at you guys like, oh, you're solving what I've been trying to solve for decades and decades and decades. You know, it's a little...
Is there a little jealousy there?
Is there a little jealousy or what's
Boots
going
McGraw
on?
Boots McGraw solves the...
Boots McGraw causing a rift?
No. First of all, when you team up with Boots McGraw, you can't go wrong. And, for example, these Polish crystallographers that have been working on this for 14 years, When we told them, when we sent them the email with the structure, they emailed us back, literally, this is one of the most joyous moments in my life. And they were so happy, they insisted that we open champagne bottles over Skype simultaneously.
Oh, nice.
With all their collaborators in Poland and all of us here in Seattle. And, I mean, you know, it's win-win. You know, I know there have been lots of headlines like, you know, gamers beat scientists. Suck it. This problem is so hard, we need like every single aspect to help.
It's partly because of like human intuition, right? Like we said before, like the computers can't solve everything because they don't have intuition like us, or at least not yet.
Abstract thinking,
yeah,
right?
That was actually the paper that we published last year was showing that in a bunch of cases, humans were able to outperform, you know, Rosetta, one of the state-of-the-art methods out there, and in detail we were able to show exactly why. Basically, you know, computers will try out so many different possibilities and really, really fast, and it's crazy, but they'll reach many dead ends where they just go, oh man, I'm not going down that road. Like, I got a way better solution just waiting here that I did, 2 minutes ago. I'll try something else. whereas humans can see, you know, I have to go down this road with horrible, horrible energies, and I'll have a horrible, horrible score for a really long time. But if I don't do that, there's no way I can get to the correct solution. And that's where the humans have the advantage. And that they've shown that.
Humans got that tiger blood.
They got the tiger blood.
And emotion.
And emotion.
Damn straight.
So what do you think the next what's the next step in this the gaming platform? I mean, any updates coming up soon?
Are you guys making version 2, version 3, or are you still beta and testing, or what's
going on? I think that, you know, we've kind of shown the power of it, and it's not just, you know, as I said, proteins are important, but there's a lot of other big problems out there that hopefully people will see that, you know, the online gaming community and scientific discovery games can totally help. Actually, one of the co-creators of Foldit, Adrian Troy, he's now at Carnegie Mellon University, and he started a new RNA folding game with Stanford. It's called Eterna, and you know, it's the sky's the limit on this. And anything that is going to be, you know, a visual task that's, you know, really really hard in a kind of 3D puzzle problem is humans are just going to, like, you're really, really good at it. And
yeah,
there have been lots of cases, like, you know, the Galaxy Zoo project and discovering and supernovas and kind of tagging just visual images. But I think we can go, you know, I think we've shown that we can go a lot further than just, you know, looking at different pictures and trying to find things there.
Can the RNA game work in conjunction with Foldit, or is it completely separate entities?
No, I mean, it definitely could in that,
right?
You know,
that's like aiding.
If they're able to fold some RNA that then turns into a protein, you know, we should totally, like, have a kind of, like, tag team gaming thing going there.
WWF
just started very recently. So
it seems like there's a wave of positivity coming over the community over there, man, because it seems like now people all over the world can sort of be involved with this. Can me and Chris play?
And that's the great thing. The team that solved this particular monkey virus protein, they are all over the earth in different time zones. We wanted to, you know, tell them the news over the phone. We're like, can we just call you? Like, and they're like, well, you know, we're all over in different time zones. You know, can we just meet in a chat? And, you know, we had to tell them over chat because they're literally, you know, in the UK and in Australia.
Chat.
And it's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
You're on the brink of discovery.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I think he's
pretty soon.
The $100 billion man in like 2 years.
The brink of solution, man.
It's gonna lead to kids doing open heart surgery over Xbox Live.
So Firas, how did
you? You know, I was always worried. You know, when I had a kid, am I gonna let them play, you know, video games early on? Am I gonna be a hypocrite just because my parents didn't let me?
And
but,
now
you know,
here
now
you
go. Play video games?
You know
now
the answer.
Now
like,
there's
sure. Go cure cancer.
Of course, exactly. Gamers can cure cancer. Jack, where's Spliffington, Jack?
Eat those lima beans, cure cancer.
exactly.
How did you get into it, Firas? How did you decide?
Yeah, what's your backstory?
That you wanted to help do this?
So I've been in the Rosetta community for a long time, since I was in grad school. And actually, interestingly, every year, all the people who work on the Rosetta algorithm, because it's constantly, you know, growing and having, you know, new features and basically, you know, getting better and better every year. We have this kind of conference 2 hours east of Seattle, and I want to say 5 or 6 years ago at the RosettaCon, it's called, which is, you know, basically a lot of science, and then in the evenings we have, you know, hot tubbing with wine and beer, and it's really good, just doing wine.
Scientists
anyway,
hot tubbing?
Someone showed this demo, you know, many years ago of just being able to move Rosetta and have the energy in real time change on a video, and it was just the coolest thing ever. And I remember we were all like in the hot tub with the wine, and someone just said, "Dude, can you imagine if we made that into like a PlayStation game? Like, how cool would that be?" And everybody thought like, "Oh man, that'd be the greatest thing ever. We could have people all over the world trying to like
help
us."
That guy's fucked up.
And and in 2008, when I you know, applied to work in David's lab, that was the first day that Foldit was launched. And he said, "Oh, if I showed you the Rosetta video game," and I was like, "No way, you made it! Like, we had talked about this, but we were a crazy drunk."
That's
and
crazy.
So the second I saw that, I was like, "I want to work on this."
There you go. For us, it's been so engaging talking to you. You mentioned something earlier about the predecessor to the Rosetta screensaver, and We got to talk. We got to have you on again and talk about that. For now, I just want to make sure everyone out there knows how they can get involved with Fold It. So why don't you tell everyone how they can get the game?
Yeah, you just go to www.fold.it, and on the top right, it'll say Get Started, and there's three different downloads, one for PCs, one for Mac, and one's for Linux.
One for Linux download the game. 87 years old.
And start learning how to play Fold It.
Excellent. Faraz, you've been an incredibly engaging guest, man. I can't say anything else. It's been wonderful. We want to have you on again soon, man. Did you have fun?
Yeah, man, it was great.
Yeah. How do you stack up against NPR?
When you coming out to New York?
He's like, never. Listen, for us, so this has been Gunwash Radio.
Steve Jobs died.
Steve Jobs died tonight. It's
pour one out for Steve Jobs, guys.
Pour one out for Steve Jobs. Listen, for us out there in Seattle, do a little hot tubbing for me tonight, all right?
Don't get stuck in time.
Kiss your girlfriend.
Thank you so much for joining us, for us. I will talk to you later on tonight. This is Gunwash Radio. It's every Wednesday here on Heritage Radio.
You know who? I miss Armin, man. He would have been good for
Armin
this show.
Armin will be back one day. Who knows? We're talking about scientist stuff tonight, man. No, Armin will be back soon.
Armin would have been good for this show.
Yeah. HeritageRadioNetwork.com. If you want to call, the number here is 718-497-2128 every 8:30 on Wednesday, or every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m.
I bid you a good night.
Eastern Standard Time, if you're out there, good night, Spliffington.
We come to machines, them know we can do it. We come to flashlight, you know. Chop it, chop it, we come to machines. Flash it, chop it, chop it, we come to machines. Do not your way, you come here with life and I way. Sing it over the reggae disc. Take a set, take a set, entertainer, take a set. Flash it, chop it, miss we come for my shit. Flash it, chop it, miss we come for my shit. A long, long time we a try. I'm not just get the blame. A long, long time we a try. I'm not just get the blame.
Computerized, oh, oh. Yeah, computerized. Computerize, we can computerize. You know, Bama. Computerize, we can computerize. Computerize, oh, oh, oh. Yeah, computerize. Computerize, we can computerize. Computerize, we can computerize. Computerize, we gone, computerize. Computerize, we gone, computerize. Computerize, we gone, computerize. I gamble. Computerize, we gone, computerize. You better than this thing out of a galawas. You touch raw wire, say you must get shot. You better than the snake, better than the spider. Tougher than the lion, tougher than the tiger. Computerize, we gone, computerize. Elementary. Computerize, we gone, computerize. Computerize, we gone, computerize. Well, computerize. Since Amelia, since Amelia, it's better than cocaine. Them day and me water them night. Me set a few men. Me watch me Babylon. Me wanna Babylon come mash up me plan. E-I-E-I-O. E-I-E-I-O. Since Emilia.
Look out! this is a bomb. Run for cover now. Run for cover now. King Tug is taking over now. So you better run for cover now. Run for cover now. Prince Jammy, run for cover now. Run for cover now. King Tug is taking over now. He can stick my jaw, but I'm alive. You know, Prince Jammy, if a fish could keep his mouth shut, he would never ever get caught. Empty barrel, as I know, make the most noise. What the proper now? What the proper now? You better run for cover now. Run for cover now. Run for cover now. King Tub is taking over now. You better run for cover now.
I am the music maker.
All the way from Jamaica.
And a brand new soul shaker, baby.
Wash, 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 wash.